If you will, turn in your Bibles today to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. With all the things that are happening in the world today, we need some good news. And the Bible tells us we have some good news just up ahead. Just up ahead. What waits? People always say, preacher, what's next? What's going to happen next? Well, I'm going to tell you what's just up ahead in just a moment. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse 5. Now he who has prepared for us this very thing is God, who also has given to us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again today for the word. God, speak to our hearts now. Open the eyes of our understanding that we might be enlightened to what the word has to say. And God, we'll give you all the praise and glory. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Now, if the Lord doesn't come real soon, you and I are going to die. Okay? Every one of us will die. If the Lord doesn't come back real soon, we're going to face this thing called death. And the Bible speaks of death many times. Death is that, I always like to think of it, is the doorway or the passageway into heaven. For the Christian, if you are in Christ, death is a beautiful thing. You don't have to worry. You don't have to fret. It's simply closing your eyes down here and opening your eyes in the presence of a Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, if you've never been saved, if you're here today and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let me say, the good news of the gospel is, you're lost, you're on the way to a devil's hell, but Christ died for you. He wants you to come to him. He's not going to twist your arm or force you, but you've got a decision to make today. If you're lost, you either decide for Christ and believe that he died on the cross for you, he's the payment of your sins, and you can go to heaven through him, or you can reject him. You can say, no, I don't believe I want to trust Christ as my Lord and Savior. Well, if you do that, you're rejecting the gospel, the good news of the gospel is. And you will go out those doors just like you came in, lost. And if you die, which you will die, maybe not today, but tomorrow, the next day, or next year's, you're going to die, and you will face God one day, and you will say, Lord, I rejected your gospel message. I rejected the Savior. And he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, and cast you into an everlasting flame. You ain't going to die, but you're going to be in a flame of torment in a place called hell for the rest of your life. No getting away from that, the Bible says. Oh, that man over in the Bible, rich man, he's still there screaming out. That one that rejected Christ on the cross, he's still screaming out. He wished that he had been with Christ, but now he's forever without Christ. And while we're talking, there's many are dying today without Jesus Christ. But the good news is, if you're in Christ, if you've been saved, you've got a place prepared for you. The Bible calls it heaven. And listen to the word today. Paul says, I've got a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Paul said death is simply a departure from this world and going to be with Christ. Now, he viewed death with Christ as a positive way. Most of us think today, well, man, it's death. Boy, that's so sad. No, it's not. If you know Jesus Christ and you believe what the Bible says, Paul said, it's gain. And all the glories that await us. Oh, no sickness, no heartache, no pain, no suffering in the place called heaven. Now, these verses say that death for the believer is simply a translation from the existence here to another existence. Our spirit goes to be with God. And right now, we are present in this body. You're here today in this old body. And the Bible says you're absent from the Lord. But the Word of God says when we die in Christ, we'll be present with the Lord and absent from this old body. Oh, now, that's a difference the Lord makes in our life when we come to trust Him as our Lord and Savior. You see, He died for me on the cross years ago. And He said, I love you so much, Byron Jones, that if you'll come to me and trust me, I will give you a place in heaven. And I trusted Him. I give my life to Him. I said, here's my life, Lord. You take it and you use it any way you want to. I'm yours. Man, oh, the wonder of it all. Folks, I can't begin to tell you how beautiful heaven is. But I know one thing. God has watched over my life. He has blessed my life. He has protected me. That day the thief on the cross said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And He said to the thief, today, not next week, not next year, not 1,000 years from now, but today, He says, you'll be with me in paradise. And since that time, every believer who dies in Christ is present with the Lord. You see, if death comes to you today, the sting of death is sin, and Christ has taken away that sin. He paid on the cross for your sin, so you don't have to worry about that. He died for you that you might have eternal life. And He transformed death into a glorious passageway into His very presence. I have stood by our loved ones at a moment of death, and I've watched their faces. I've watched them go off. Those who trust Christ as their Lord and Savior, those who have lived their life for Jesus Christ, oh, it's such a beautiful thing. I never will forget. So many have said, I see Jesus, just like Stephen. I see Jesus waiting for me. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. They're not frightened. They're not afraid. They're going into the very presence of God. We don't have to worry about this thing called death. And the Bible says, there will be believers who will not die when He comes. And that's called what we call the rapture of the church. Now, at any moment, the way the world's getting, I'm looking for that glorious appearing and our coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the Bible says they're going to be caught up together in the air to meet the Lord in the sky. Oh, now listen, folks. That's good news. Whether you're dead in Christ are going to rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. And the Bible teaches that these are the realities for every born again person. If you're here this morning and you are born again, you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you do not have to worry about this thing called death. Now, if you're not living for Him, I'm going to tell you something about that in just a moment. But if you have trusted Him as your Lord and Savior, you've given your life to Him, you do not have to fret about death. It's a beautiful thing, the Bible says. But let me talk to you just a moment about some judgments. I read the Bible and I talk about judgments in the Bible. There's several judgments. Matter of fact, I think I found about 7 different judgments for unbelievers and believers. But I want to talk about 3 judgments this morning for the believer. There's an examination in our life. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, it says this, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." You see, there's an examination in our life that we ought to take. We will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I often wondered what this is going to be like. As we look at the Word of God, I found these three judgments, and one of them is a judgment that is past. It's past. Our judgment as sinners. Christ died for us as sinners. 2,000 years ago, He died on the cross. Our sins were judged. Our sins were laid upon Him. The Bible says the wages of that sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He died for our sins so that we don't have to face that judgment there. John 5, 24 says, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not pass into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Now, Christ died for us in that first judgment. We're going to be held accountable. But if you've trusted Jesus Christ, He has died for your sins, so you don't have to worry about that death. Now, the second judgment is our present existence. In the very presence, God deals with us as children. Did you know I'm a child of God today? When I was born again, I became His child. He adopted me into His family. I'm His and He's mine. Nothing can separate me from God. But you know what? There's a judgment here that we need to talk about. Day by day, when I sin, and I do sin still, day by day when I sin or sin comes into my life, I must deal with that sin. I've got to deal with it. Now, sometimes we think, well, I can cover it up. I can do away with it. I can just cover it up, but you can't cover up sin. The Bible says we must confess our sin. We must agree with God. Lord, I did wrong today. I lost my temper. I may have looked at something that wasn't pleasing. I may have thought a dirty thought. I may have done something. But every day when I sin, when something comes that's not pleasing to God, and He points His finger and says, "Oh, that was wrong. You shouldn't have done that." The Bible says, I need to deal with that sin. I need to deal with it. If we try to cover it up and not deal with it, guess what? God will chastise us. He'll punish us, just like a father does his child. When you know, when I used to sin, when I come home, let me tell you something. When I sinned, Daddy punished me for that. I had to deal with that. Boy, I'm telling you what, it was a mighty big punishment. But let me tell you something. If I would confess and say, "Lord, or Dad, I didn't really mean to do that," you know what? A lot of times He took mercy on me. He said, "Okay, son, I won't punish you today. I never will forget." I said, "Daddy, why didn't you punish us for that?" He said, "Because I did it when I was a child. My father let me go, and I'm letting you go. But let me tell you, don't do it again." And I knew by that meaning, "don't do it again," meant next time there would be punishment. But the Bible says if we confess, God will forgive us that sin. Now listen, 1 Corinthians 11:31 says, "If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." That's what He's talking about. When we sin, we examine our life and say, "Lord, I'm judging myself. I have sinned. I'm confessing it before You." He says, we should not be judged, but when we are judged, when He has to judge us and say, "Son, you did wrong," He will chasten us, or chasten us. Man, He's going to deal with us in that area of our life. that we should not be condemned with the world. You see, this is self-judgment that ought to go on in our life every single day, folks, as we live the Christian life. 1 John 1:9 says, confess our sin, and He is faithful and just to cleanse us, forgive us our sins, and all the unrighteousness we do. That is a self-examination. That is judging ourselves. Lord, I have sinned today. Would you forgive me of that sin? He said, I sure will, and there won't be any punishment. But if we say, well, I'm going to try to cover my sin up, guess what? We're going to be punished for those things that we do. And there's hardly a day go by that I don't have to claim 1 John 1:9. Man, every single day, Lord, would you cleanse me for that? Man, I messed up again. That's the judgments that we face. A past judgment that Christ died for our sin, and a present judgment that we have to confess and judge ourselves every day. And then the Bible teaches there is a future judgment for the believer. And that's what I read about just a moment ago, the judgment seat of Christ. And this, the Bible tells us, will be an examination when believers will be examined concerning their life of service to Jesus. Now, let me tell you something. The judgment seat of Christ is not the great white throne judgment. He's not going to punish you here and send you to hell. You're saved, but it's a judgment of what you've done with Christ, with what you have here. We are responsible. Every born-again Christian here this morning is responsible on how we live our life. Or, oh me, how are we living our life? Look at your life. You don't have to answer to the preacher. You must answer to God on how you live your life. Think about it. 1 Corinthians, we are given a picture of the judgment seat of Christ. How do we live the Christian life? You see, he's talking about in the third chapter of 1 Corinthians. He's talking about the Christians at the judgment seat of Christ. And it begins with Jesus and a personal experience in him. And then he says, here is the foundation. Every man lays the foundation of his life when you're born again. You build that foundation on who? Jesus Christ. He's that foundation in which we're built on. No other foundation will do. Oh, but preacher, I built mine on church attendance. Well, let me tell you something. Church attendance will not get you into heaven. I used to watch in our years ago, I won't date back then, but we had these pins, you know. I had a man in a church down where I came from. He had pins way down here. He was so proud of those pins. He would tell you, look at all the pins I got. And I thought, yeah, but you ain't living your life for Christ. You're here every Sunday morning, but during the week you may not be living for Christ. Those pins are not going to get you into heaven, brother. Well, I built my life on church attendance. I'm sorry. You can be here every service and still not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Well, I built my life on good works. I've worked for Christ all my life. Those good works will not get you into heaven. I built my life on giving. I've given people, and financially I've gave to that church. One woman told me one time, I own a pew up there at that church. I said, well, when's the last time you've been? Well, I don't know. I don't even know who the pastor is up there anymore, but I got a pew up there. Well, let me tell you something. That pew's going to be there when you're gone. But that will not get you into heaven. He says the foundation you build upon is none other than Jesus Christ. Do you have a personal relationship with Christ this morning? People are trying to live the Christian life today. I've heard that over and over again. Man, I try to live the Christian life. Let me tell you, you can't live it if you don't have it. You've got to have Him as that foundation. And there's no other foundation unless you have a saving experience with the person of Jesus Christ. Do you know Him as your Lord and Savior? You know, I got a feeling a lot of our people today in our churches don't really know Him. They've got their name on a church roll, but they do not know Him. Now, it says, if any man build upon this foundation, once you laid your foundation, which is Jesus Christ, if you lay upon that foundation gold, silver, and precious stones, or you lay upon the foundation wood, hay, and stubble. Now, he's talking about building materials for life, you see. To build your life as a believer, you need the right building materials. Now, I think of gold, silver, and precious stones as those dazzling materials. You know, they're bright and shiny. They get pure with the heat comes on. And I think of the wood, hay, and stubble as those dull materials that your life's just not very bright. Oh, you may be saved as though by fire, but your life is not really putting out a good light for Jesus Christ. And the Bible says when all is said and done, the wood and hay and stubble is all going to be burned up. Those are the things that you do for Christ, but you did them in the energy of the flesh. And the gold and silver and precious stones, they represent those things that you did for Christ that are in His Spirit. You see? And every day, you've got to choose the materials that you build your life upon as a Christian. Now, I'm talking to the believers. And it's important that you build your life upon the right kind of foundation with the right materials. Don't go out there to the devil's lumber yard and get the wood and the hay and the stubble. You go to the Holy Spirit and get the gold and silver and the precious stones in your life and build upon those things. Look at verse 13. It says, for if we are beside ourselves, it is for God, or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then he died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for who? Jesus Christ, who died and rose again. Man, our life is to be lived for Jesus Christ and Him alone. Now, isn't that good news? Oh, every man's work shall be made manifest, it tells us in the Bible. And it says, if any man's work abide, he shall receive an award. But if any man's works does not abide, he shall suffer loss. Now, he's not talking about loss of salvation. He's talking about your loss, ashamed. Man, I want to hold my head up high for Jesus Christ. Only those things to bring glory and honor to Christ, the Bible says, will remain. Let me tell you, those are judgments. Judgments, past, Christ died for our sins. He paid the price. Then the judgments present, man, we judge ourselves every day. Lord, the Bible says, I sinned. I'm confessing that sin. I'm judging myself so that He won't have to chastise me. And then the future judgment, when we get to heaven, we're going to be judged whether we built upon the right foundation with the right materials or the wrong materials. Man, I love that. That's what's up ahead for us that are in Christ. And then over in Revelation chapter 19, I believe it is, Oh, let me talk to you a little bit about jubilation. There's also some jubilation in the Bible. I love it when you read about the Lord and the marriage lamb of the Lord. Revelation tells us about the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, I heard a preacher say that in the rapture, he catches us up. In the judgment, he cleans us up. But in the marriage lamb, he cheers us up. Listen to this. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saint. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. His wife has been made ready. Who is the wife? Who is the bride of the church? You see, the bride is the church. Amen? You and I, believers, make up the church. We are his bride. We are to make ourselves ready, folks. Now, let me tell you something. To make ourselves ready, we don't need to get out there and waller in the mud. We don't need to mix our lives with the worldly stuff. You see? We're supposed to be the bride of Christ, and the bride of Christ is supposed to be pure. And a lot of us live our lives in the filth, don't we? Oh, the table, the Bible says, at the marriage supper is set magnificently. And the Bible says, when the table is set, he issues to say, come, for all things are now ready. And for over 2,000 years, the Lord has been getting his bride ready. We're getting ready for a wedding celebration. Now, let me tell you something. They didn't do wedding celebrations like we do today. I've had a lot of weddings in my time. Weddings are about the worst thing in the world to do, but you know, they never get started on time. They never work right quiet, and they're always crying. You know, it's supposed to be jubilation, but somebody's crying. But let me tell you how we do them. Let's not do that. Have you ever noticed that old bride, I mean that old groom, he can come out. He can be wearing the shirt tucked in or tucked out, his hair messed up. He can have a dip of snuff in his mouth. Nobody will notice. Except the preacher, and he always says, spit that stuff out. But let me tell you something. What happens? That bride comes. Woo, she's arrayed in that white dress. Man, she's got diamonds on. She's got her hair comb. She's got makeup on. And let me tell you, nobody's going to pay any attention to that old boy. They got their eyes fixed on her. When she comes down, everybody stands up and they admire how beautiful that girl, you know, how beautiful she is. Wonder how that old ugly boy ever caught her. But let me tell you something. The background here is the Oriental wedding. And they did it a whole lot different from our weddings. Now, the emphasis is not so much on the bride there, but it's on the groom. Completely opposite, isn't it? Boy, marriage supper. There was three parts of their marriage. There was the engagement. Now, that's a time when they got to know each other and get acquainted with each other. It was purely good, no sexual contact. It was a time of just getting to know one another, each other's families, get acquainted with each other. And the presentation, a time for the groom to meet her parents and his parents and friends, and that would go on. And then the third part of it was the marriage supper. Oh, let me tell you something. All were invited as guests. All the invited guests would come to that marriage supper. And they would gather there for a meal. Let me tell you something. That meal would go on for days. Days. If the groom had the money. The more money he had, the longer that celebration would go on. They had a feast. They would feast and they would feast and they'd more feast. And then they'd rest and then they'd eat again. The old boy didn't have much, then it didn't last very long. But if he had a lot, it would last. See, it was according to the financial ability of the groom. Now listen to me, listen closely. We are the bride of Christ. I want you to understand that. We are the bride of Christ. Paul said, I have espoused you to one bride, even Christ. He's the groom. During this engagement period, you and I are to live faithfully, faithful in purity. That's what we ought to be living right now, folks. We ought to have our lives pure before God. If we're living outside of God's will, we're flirting with the world, we're not doing Christ justice. That's spiritual adultery. You and I commit it, don't we? Think about it. You belong to who? Christ. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. He died on the cross for you. And when we go out and flirt with the world and we do things that are unholy with the world, we're spiritually committing adultery. And I see it happening in our churches all over the world. No wonder His Holy Spirit is not moving like it should be in our life. No wonder we're not having revival in our life. The church is like the world. Don't it bother you? It bothers me. Let me just give you this example. Supposedly, a young couple goes and gets married. And then they head out. They're so happy. They've just gotten married, you know. All the people are gathered around and they're going out and they get in their car and they're going on their honeymoon. And the bride, about a mile down the road, says, okay, take me home. The young man looks at her and says, what? We're on our honeymoon. Oh, no. You take me home. You see, we got married, but I'm just going to see you on weekends. We got married, but don't you be pushing me. You see, I got other friends. I got other guys I like to hang around with. And during the week, I'll see them, but don't worry, I still love you. I married you. Oh, by the way, you can take care of me when I'm sick. By the way, when I have financial expectations, I'll call on you to meet them. Oh, by the way, don't tell me how to live my life. You're too pushy. But honey, I do love you. And I'll let you see me next weekend. You think that's funny? That's just the way we do God. Preacher, don't tell me that God wants me up there every day of the week. Don't tell me that I've got to do this. You're being too bossy. The word is too strict. But I love Him. I want Him to take me to heaven when I die. Fat chance if you're living like that. Because you are built on some other foundation than that Christ asked you to build upon. Now, is that the way you think? it wouldn't be much of a marriage, would it? Yet that's how we look towards Jesus Christ. Lord, I'll serve you on the weekends. I'll expect you to take care of me and bless me. When I'm in trouble, I'll call on you. But don't expect me to do much else. Oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you, I do love you. A lot of saved people say they love Jesus. But, Lord, just don't tell me what to do. Stay out of my life until I need you. Isn't that a shame? Let me ask you again. Do you belong to Jesus? If you do, you ought to live a life pleasing to him. A purity. Yes, we're going to sin. But when we sin, let's confess it right then. Don't try to cover it up. He says, confess it right then. Because when he comes, oh, what a marriage is going to take place. Oh, it'll be only for believers there. Look on in verse chapter 20 of Revelation. There's a coronation there. We're told about 1,000 years we're going to reign. It's translated, Christ is going to come back in a millennium. And look at verse 6 of verse 20, chapter 20 of Revelation. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. You know you're going to reign with Christ. Man, isn't that wonderful? That's just up ahead. It's just around the corner. For 1,000 years, we'll reign with Christ on this earth. And there will be, the Bible says, 1,000 years of peace. And during that time, believers will be rewarded and the earth will be redeemed, rid of all evil. Man. You can go back and look at Revelation 1:5. It says, we are kings and priests unto God. Man, we're kings and priests. Romans 5:17, it is possible, he says, to live with Christ right now as a king. Remember that old show, Queen for the Day? A lot of you don't. You wasn't born then, but they used to have Queen for the Day. And that person was put, you know, I'm king for a day. Every day that you live, you're king for the day. You can rule and reign with Christ. You can let God rule in your heart. You can have the peace of God that passes all understanding. And you can reign with him as a, live like a king. You are a child of the king. Oh, I like that old song. I'm a child of the king, child of king. His royal blood now flows through my veins. You see, he died for me, and he died for you. And yet so many times we live like slaves, and he says, you're king. You're king. One more story, and then I'll quit. I love the story of Joseph. Y'all know the story of Joseph. One day down there in that prison, he was down there in the prison. Then the next day, he's prime minister of Egypt. Man, we sang that song, played it, well, my chains are gone. I've been set free. He came out of that old prison saying, my chains are gone. I've been set free. Man, he was lifted up. And everything that God had for him in life was given to him. Oh, man, he was free from sin. He is free from death. He's free from the grave. Christ lifts us up as a child of the king. I don't have to worry about death. I don't have to worry about the grave. I don't have to worry about any of those things because I am just as good as in heaven now as I'll ever be. I've been sealed until that day of redemption. And everything God has is mine in Christ Jesus. And it's available for us in Christ Jesus. And if we live defeated lives, it's because you're not walking according to God's word in your life, my friend. Luke 19 gives us the parable of the 10 pounds. Listen to what he says. The master gives 10 pounds to one servant and says, occupy till I come. Gives it to another, says, occupy till I come. Gives it to another and says, occupy till I come. Now, the one that he gave 10, double it. And he says, well done, thy good and faithful servant. To the other, he says, he's doubled it. He said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. But to the one, he says, woo, you haven't done anything with what I've given you. And I'm afraid he's going to look at a lot of people today and say, listen, I have blessed you, I have given to you, and you haven't done a thing with what I've given you. You see, that passage of Scripture seems to indicate that in the future, based on one's faithfulness and commitment to Christ, there's going to be an opportunity to have authority and service in a universal realm. I don't know what it'll be, but I know it's just up ahead. It's just around the corner. Life is short. The Bible doesn't say a lot about that, except that it does say we can reign with Christ. Will your works be burned up? Are the material you're using in your life wood, hay, and stubble? Do you really love Jesus? That's what it all boils down to, doesn't it? Do I really love Jesus? If so, would you give your life to him today? Would you live a pleasing life for Jesus Christ today? If you're here and you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you come to him today? Say, Lord, I realize I'm lost and I want you to come in my heart. Man, he will. You just come down the front and share that with me, and I'll share with you how Christ wants you to live. Would you do that? And then if you're living for Christ and you're not living like he should, like you should, would you come and kneel at the altar and say, Lord, I've examined my life and I've come up short. I'm confessing it right now to you. You know what he says? I'll pick you up and put you back on the right path. Don't wait till you get to heaven and find that you've built your whole life on wood, hay, and stubble. Build it on gold, silver, and precious stones. Build it on the Spirit of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for your blessings. I thank you, Lord, for these that have come. And Lord, now as we come to an important time of decision, Lord, let them realize they need to make that decision for you today while they can, so they'll be prepared for what's up ahead. And we'll give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.